B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi, everybody. Welcome into the program. Felger and Maserati coming to you on Thursday, August 5th. Felger here in the remote A-hole chair location. We got Maz and Murray back in our Town Fair Tire studios. We are brought to you by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub and simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. Jimmy or Vinny or somebody, if you could tell the people back at the home office to pick up their phone. I've been trying to Skype in for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they're not picking up. So you can tell them to pick up or not. They keep calling me on another line. I don't know. I've used the same line every time for 2 years now. Just have them pick up. I've been dialing in, okay? Other than that, you'll see the cartoon till they get me.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Yeah, screw them. If they can't get to the bus stop on time, that's their problem.
So annoying. No, I just think they're on the wrong line or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
How are you boys doing?
Wrong gate.
Oh, good.
Good. I'm good. You?
Oh, good. Peachy. Let's talk some football, okay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Are you guys there?
Yeah, we're here. Can you hear us?
Is there a delay? Is this me or is this you?
Oh, no, I think there's a little delay.
Oh, it's going to be on your end.
Oh, yeah, no, I can see already this is going to be a winner of
it's
a day.
Always you, Mike. It's always
that's
you.
So freaking annoying. So I wanted to do an hour on the Patriots, not doing the quarterbacks. Because Lord knows that's all we've done, but I do feel like there's quarterback news today. So, but that's the idea. We're going to do an hour and try to avoid the quarterback thing if we can. But if you're just interested in the quarterback headline is that Mac Jones had another really good day and Cam Newton had another really bad day. And what made this different than yesterday is that they were back in pads. It was a padded practice, and Mac Jones again. I don't know if you want to say popped, but. Had himself a real good day. Cam Newton clearly lost the day. And then Cam Newton, you know, they did their media availability, so both quarterbacks spoke. And Cam Newton was a little, I don't know what the word is.
Bitchy.
Surly, defensive, bitchy. Go ahead, Murray, you got something?
Yeah, I thought he got kind of hyper defensive. You know, when after, I think it was Mike Reese that asked a question referring to last year. And then right after that, it was like, oh, he's got his back up here. Because what, you had a bad day and the kid outplayed you?
Yeah, he was testy, right?
Yeah.
Testy. And you know what? Like, listening to him, I sort of felt like I was listening to Garrett Richards, not to cross sports on you. But he was a little testy. And you know what? Like, honestly, I view that as a good sign. If he's starting to get uptight because the kid's closing in on him, excellent. Excellent. Because if he's going to get tight when a kid who has never played in the league is closing in on him, then how's he going to take the Patriots where they want to go? So the one thing that Cam Newton is supposed to have over this kid is poise, experience, you know, all the stuff that would come from that. And I know we're not going to do quarterbacks all day. I'm just telling you that I'm getting more optimistic about Jones.
Okay. Last couple days seems to have swung. Seems to have swung. But again, we'll get deep into that later on in the show. I promise. But we wanted to try to do an hour on stuff other than the quarterbacks, although I'm sure it'll come up. So if I asked you, Maz, what's your top non-quarterback storyline with the Patriots so far a week into training camp? What would it be?
Okay, so I would tell you that I think that the fact that we've spent so much time on the quarterbacks is natural because of the importance of the position, but the fact is this team this year, the quarterback's going to be de-emphasized if they're going to be any good. They're going to be a different kind of team. They're going to be a defense first and, dare I say, probably a run first kind of offense. I think the quarterback's job on this team this year is going to be to not screw it up. I'm as intrigued by the defense, the improvements in the front seven, and dare I say even a little bit in the last couple of days, N'Keal Harry. Am I stupid to say that, Murray? Am I stupid?
No, because I think to me, this is the most interesting thing outside of the quarterbacks. That's a given. This has been the most interesting thing a week plus into camp is that N'Keal Harry, who via his agent slash shady lawyer demanded a trade, has actually looked pretty good. And consistently, too, from those that are down there covering the team, N'Keal Harry has looked good pretty much every single day. So I wonder what happened here. Do they have a conversation? He N'Keal Harry and Bill Belichick. And, you know, Bill told him, look, I'm not trading you. So make the best of a bad situation that you look at as a bad situation. We have room for you here. I think, you know, I said it at the time, he should try to stick here because I don't think that wide receiver is really an area of strength from a depth position for this team. There is a spot for N'Keal Harry here. He is your first round draft pick. Try to stick. Try to stay with the team. Show that you actually had something. You were worthy of being drafted that high. And so far, again, a week into camp, there might be something there. That'd be a good story.
So everybody's writing about it. Bedard yesterday, N'Keal Harry coming on. And this was not even, this was before today's session, which I haven't been updated on yet, in terms of him anyway. But coming off of yesterday, Bedard wrote, Harry has slowly been building during this camp. And today, again, meaning yesterday, was his coming out party. He's caught at least six passes, and several were either off the ground or competitive balls. Harry's doing a great job using his body and being more precise. He doesn't look like he's thinking through everything. Bedard said, this is exactly why we were disappointed in Harry's trade request. He's a good player, and this is his time with a big opportunity. Keep competing, fella. So that's just that's Bedard. That's just one of them. But, you know, everyone's pretty much writing it. And his routes are more precise. He's winning jump balls. He's stacking days. He's on the field every day, which he hasn't been able to do in the past. So I don't know about you. You know, I'm going to take it at face value. Because I do not think that everyone's progression is linear or everyone shows they can play the first day. And some guys take a year, some guys take two. It's probably rare, you know, if I'm being honest. It's rare for a guy to pop year three. I mean, usually you know by the time you get to this point. But, oh, well, so well. Maybe he's an outlier. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, at the very least, he's pumping up his trade value. You know, go out, have a good camp, put some stuff on tape, and at least the Patriots can get something for you. I wouldn't trade this guy.
Well, so go ahead. This, to me, is sort of what the fundamental question is with Harry. But go ahead.
You go ahead.
Let's say it's legit. And I have my doubts. Okay, I'm not going to lie to you. After 2 years, I have my doubts. I don't think the kid can play. Maybe he's having a good camp. Great. But I'm going to need to see it in the season to believe it. But let's just say, hypothetically, it's real. What do you do with him? And I don't trade him either.
No, you don't. Again, because I think this is an area of weakness for this team. Who is your true number one? You don't have one. This is why they were in on Julio Jones when he was out there before he ended up going to Tennessee. Again, Nelson Agholor, one-off good year last year with the Raiders. Kendrick Bourne is a three at best. All you have is three at best. It might be Jacoby Myers, but still, again, is he a number one wide receiver in the NFL? No. If N'Keal Harry could play to his potential, again, being worthy of being drafted in the first round, maybe he could be it. There's a space for him on this team.
To me, it's about the price. In other words, just because he's had a good camp and now he's quote-unquote tradable, what does that mean? Now you get a sixth instead of a conditional seventh? Or, I don't know, if he has a few good preseason games, does that bump him up to a fifth?
Even if it's 1-1, Mike, for Andy Isabella, who's a name that's been, you know, thrown out there, he with the Arizona Cardinals, or one of their receivers, would you do that? Again, if he looks good at camp, I'm not going to do that.
Well, but here's my point.
Yeah, for a higher price, you'd move him.
If N'Keal Harry could get me a second-round pick, yeah, see you later, pump and dump. Have a good week, build up your value, get me a second-round pick. You save some face on that failed draft pick. See you later, you know, first boat out. But I don't think that a good training camp or a good preseason gets them much of anything. You know, maybe it bumps you up from a seventh to a sixth or something like that. Andy Isabella, you know, I always liked the thought of that, Murray. And so maybe I'd still do that because I like that sort of player. I like those quick slot guys. And, you know, Isabella could, you know, be that classic Patriots Welker Edelman guy. But it just in terms of draft picks, he's a low draft pick compensation. So what am I doing? You know, like, no, I keep him. And I, if it just took him an extra year to figure it out, or the motivation of this goofy off season with his trade request and all this to be motivated, fine, you know, better late than never. So I just sort of ride with it unless someone gets stupid on the contract offer. I mean, so, that's really it.
So Mike, where's the line for you then? In other words, does it,
third?
So a fourth, you're keeping him.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and the reason I ask that is because, you know, to me, what if it's on the cusp? What do you do?
Right.
And, you know, that's where the decision gets hard. I agree. If there's a high draft pick available, you move them. you move him because I'm not confident in the ability that he can play either. I also don't love the ability, the idea that I'm giving him up for just a sixth. And I will defer a little bit on him to the talent versus the draft pick. In other words, if I'm on the line, I would lean more towards keeping him than not, because I think that big receivers, by definition, are mismatches. So when you have big receivers and you can use them down in the red zone and they can use their size, if he could ever figure it out, even if he's not the equivalent of a first-round talent at this point, I think you keep it because you can use them. I don't think they have a lot of receivers that are mismatches.
All right, so that's I think, to me, clearly the story of camp so far outside of the quarterback thing. And maybe the other one to me is Steph Gilmore, which we've left to the side. I mean, he was a big story in the offseason. But again, I think he's sort of been brushed to the side. He's still holding out, you know. And I think the NFL, in their greed and their cheapness to eliminate the fines, you know, they've changed the structure of how you can fine a guy for training camp. In other words, in the past, you fined a guy for missing training camp, but you could always forgive the fines. And what would happen is a player would hold out. He'd accumulate $150,000 in fine or $2 million in fines for missing 30 days. And then when he signed his new contract, the fines would be forgiven. And he would never have to pay him, or they'd be wrapped into the new settlement. And it was no harm, no foul. And that's the way it worked out for most guys. In the new collective bargaining agreement, you cannot forgive those fines. The players have to pay them. So now what guys are doing is they're showing up, pretending they're hurt, and not playing. And that's what Steph Gilmore is doing. And I'd so much rather him be out of camp than him just blatantly showing up every day and standing in the corner and saying, I'm not going to play. Do you pay me? And he's right in your – and not that he's in our face every day. His teammates, he's there. I think it's so much worse for the team that this guy is holding in. I don't know. And so the cheap-ass owners are getting what they asked for with this. It's happening in a couple places in the league. And Howard in Miami doing the same thing. There's a couple guys, I think, who are doing this. And it's like, you know Gilmore's okay. Gilmore said to Josina Anderson last month, remember? He said, I feel stronger than I've ever felt since the surgery, his quad surgery. I've been running a lot, building full speed. So then she, of course, asks, will you be ready for camp? Will you be 100%? He said, we'll see. If I need to be. I mean, he just told you right there that I'll be out there if I need, I'll be 100% if I need to be. Well, I'll be on the field if they pay me. If they're not going to pay me, I'm not going to be on the field. And it's so gross. It's like he's just blatantly quitting on the team, but yet he's holding out. Normally, it'd be like, yeah, I'm not showing up because you're not paying me. But now he's showing up, and it's like, I just hate the look. I think the owners got what they asked for with this, and it's playing out just as I thought.
Yeah, it's from an optic standpoint, it's not great for either side, the player or the team, because you know, I'm sure the team looks at him as kind of a nuisance. Like, if you're not going to be actually playing for us and this is your holdout, what the hell are you even doing here in the first place? But it really comes back to the old Marshawn Lynch line of, I'm just here so I don't get fined. It's dumb. Like, it should be the old way.
Yeah, I can't believe the players ever agreed to this. I mean, to me, that's preposterous. Talk about giving away your leverage.
I mean, but I don't think it's doing the owners any favors either. I think it's like, yeah, there's Steph Gilmore. Yeah, he's probably okay to play, but they're not paying him. How you doing, Steph? I'm good. They're not paying me, so I'm just going to stand over here. It's like, it's probably better for everyone if he's out of sight, out of mind, and it's your classic training camp holdout. And then it's up to the teams, the owners, what, policing themselves. You know, if you don't want to forgive the fines, then don't forgive the fines. You don't have to. But because the owners can't, you know, they can't police themselves. They can't stick to their guns. They have to force everybody. Well, it's out of our hands. We can't forgive the fines now. And I just think, so it looks bad for him because he's just openly quitting. He's openly faking an injury, I think. I mean, I think that's what's going on. He's openly exaggerating an injury because he doesn't like his contract. And he's there every day. They're calling him Coach Steph because, you know, like, I can't remember who they asked, one of the defensive coaches yesterday about, you know, he's still helping guys out. We call him Coach Steph. So that's great. Coach Steph. That's going to help. That's going to help when it's a number one receiver on the other side of the field and you need to go one-on-one with him. They want to play man defense, but they can't because Coach Steph isn't getting paid. So, you know, go home or send him home or pay him and get him on the field. Like, that whole thing kind of bugs me, and it's bugged me from the start. You know that.
Yeah, and that story about him being a de facto coach I find so annoying. Like, don't try to spin this as any kind of positive right now, please.
Stop it. All right, so those are two non-quarterback items. We'll have more. We're going to check in from training camp. Alex Barth from 98.5 The Sports Hub will join us next. What, you think we can carry more than two segments not talking about the quarterbacks? We need help. Barth is going to tell us exactly what's going on down there with all this other stuff, and we'll do it right after these words.
Yeah, Barth.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
All right, welcome back to the program. Felger and Maserati trying to give you an hour of Patriots talk. Not on the quarterbacks. Let's get some help. Alex Barth, 98.5, The Sports Hub. .com. Join us on the line. He's been down there every day at training camp. Alex, you there? How you doing?
I am here. How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Okay, man. Is all this hype about N'Keal Harry true? What do you see?
He had a strong couple days there. I think, you know, he had a strong day the first day of camp. The next couple days, he wasn't good. He wasn't bad. He was kind of there. Two monster days the last few days, and I thought he kind of faded again today. Obviously, in the rain, it's a little bit tougher, but there's been moments. There's been flashes where you're kind of like, oh, yeah. No, I remember why they took this guy in the first round. I don't know that they've been as consistent as you'd like, but he's been, you know, he hasn't gotten lost. And there's been times in camp and in games where sometimes it looks like he's been lost. I don't know that I've seen that from him this summer.
So, Alex, you're not saying different guy.
Not quite. I think he's. We always saw the flashes, right? There'd be a catch or two here or there. He's doing it a bit more consistently. So, you know, different consistency, but I don't know that, you know, I wouldn't say we're looking at a brand new player, no.
So, Alex.
All right, slow your roll on N'Keal Harry. I got it. Yes, Gomez.
So I was just going to say, Alex, put it into context. Who's been their best receiver? Where do you put him in sort of the hierarchy based on camp now, based only on camp?
So I think it's really an interesting situation because Aguilar, Bourne, and Myers have all been pretty good. They've all kind of done what they needed to do so far in camp, and they are strongly, it feels like, the top three. And then you have Christian Wilkerson and Isaiah Zuber, who have done a lot on special teams, and then N'Keal Harry's kind of in the middle. And are they going to keep a fourth wide receiver who is only going to play 10-15% of the snaps in, you know, heavy 12 personnel that doesn't play special teams? N'Keal is just 21 special team snaps over the last 2 years. And then, okay, if he needs to play special teams to make the roster, here's two guys with extensive special teams experience in Wilkerson and Zuber behind them. So, you know, does he crack the top three? Right now, I don't think he's there quite yet. Can he be that special teams option? I don't think so either. So he's kind of caught in between right now.
Wait a minute. So you're saying the fourth and fifth receivers will be Zuber and Wilkerson, whoever that is, and N'Keal Harry's not going to make the team. Those are your fourth and fifth receivers?
N'Keal maybe could still make it as the fourth, I think. He's played well enough where it's there, but, you know, how much is the fourth wide receiver really going to play in this offense with the heavy two tight end personnel? And if it's a case where that guy's not going to play a ton of snaps, would they rather have that role filled by somebody who's going to contribute in special teams, or only keep four receivers and maybe keep an extra tight end, keep an extra running back, keep an extra lineman? He just feels really in between right now. He's playing well, but I don't know, you know, if that trade request is out there, I don't know that the snaps are there to justify keeping him over. It could be a wide receiver. It could be at another position, somebody who's going to contribute maybe in a more full sense.
Well, listen, let me tell you, I'm no fan of N'Keal Harry, but it would bug me if they kept this Wilkerson or this Zuber just because he runs down on punts and not waiting to see if they can tap into N'Keal Harry or whatever. It's like, I know that's a classic Belichick kind of thing to do, but I don't know. That would bug me, Alex. How about the tight ends? How do they look? What do they got there?
The tight ends look good, and they've been getting better as camp's gone on. I think there was clearly, you know, a chemistry thing there where they're getting used to working with these quarterbacks. There was a nice timing play between Mac Jones and Jonnu Smith yesterday. Jones hit Hunter Henry on a deep crosser today that, you know, was a great play by both the quarterback and the tight end. And they're coming along. They're showing up in the blocking game, too. You know, those one-on-ones they do in the trenches, and that's going to be big with how much this team projects to run the ball this year. So the tight ends, they look like the real deal. You can see it. You can see what they saw when they signed these guys back in the spring.
Maz Murray, you got anything?
So I was going to ask about the defense, Alex, and I'm just curious as to, because I think the defense is the strength of the team. It's the best unit that they can put on the field, and I think they're going to be a defense-first team no matter who's at quarterback and no matter how well they run the ball. I think it's going to be about the defense. Tell me how the D has looked.
And the defense has definitely won, you know, practice so far. Through 8 days, there's been more positive reps for the defense than the offense, and it's going to be an interesting unit because there's so many guys that can play so many different positions, and you're starting to see them now as you get in a fully padded practices, kind of move guys around, and it's exciting. And the new additions, especially Matthew Judon, has been as advertised. He's been great, and you can really see it now with the fully padded practices, the depth of his toolbox when he's, you know, trying to beat an offensive lineman one-on-one, getting after the quarterback. He's got a number of different moves he can go to. And then in the secondary, Adrian Phillips, I think he could be in for a big year. We talk a lot about the second-year jump for rookies to their second year, and Phillips is hardly a rookie. But the role he played last year, he told us he hadn't done anything like that since high school. So he's a guy I look at as, you know, is there a second-year jump just in that role where he's more comfortable, he has more experience in that role? He's had a great start to camp. Him versus Jonnu Smith, those have been some of the best one-on-ones of the summer so far. So you're seeing guys now. I think at times last year, just the lack of depth. They had to play a lot of guys out of position, and that hurt them. Everybody looks really comfortable in their role right now, and you can see everything just sort of building off of that.
All right, Alex, I've said there's been a noticeable lack of buzz thus far for Mac Jones, which I find frustrating because I can't believe he's struggling to look better than Cam Newton at this point in his career. So based on today and Mac's performance, we have a little bit of buzz now.
There is a little bit of buzz, and I think, you know, there was some worry after that first padded practice, and at the time it was the only padded practice that, you know, why'd he suddenly fall apart in a padded practice? What does that mean? He just proved that today. You had the rain as well, and it was coming down pretty good at times, so that added an element of difficulty, but he had a buzzworthy day. That was the best day he's had so far. He looked good. He looked in control, right? There's been some rookie moments for him where it's not that he necessarily looked bad. It was just, you could tell it was all new to him. There was maybe one of those moments today, maybe one or two. He fully looked the part today.
Alex, you wrote the other day, you and Doloff wrote the other day, that Cam Newton clearly looks like the number one, that Mac Jones is a long way away from even competing for that job. That was just 2 days ago. Do you still feel that way today?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't know that I felt that way when Matt wrote that. It was, and I don't want to throw Matt under the bus here.
No, good job, Alex.
Please.
No, definitely his fault. Definitely. Great job.
I want him to get the credit for what he wrote. No, in all honesty, I think that the day Matt wrote that, that was to that point the most definitive day of practice. And that was as definitive as it had been that Cam looked like the starter. That being said, you know, I wasn't ready one practice in to make a definitive decision or one padded practice in. I think everybody wants the answer, right? And just naturally, everybody wants to know. But the reality is, we still have such a long way to go in this. And there's going to be joint practices, which I think will be huge in determining where we're at with the quarterback position. The preseason games are going to be big as well. So at the time that was written, yeah, Cam Newton felt squarely in control. Mac Jones has had two good practices since then. But again, without even a joint practice under the belt, I don't want to say anything definitive yet. But Mac is putting together good days at the right time. I think it's definitely fair to say that. And I wrote
Alex,
that today. So you can quote me on that.
Did you think Cam Newton was pouty in his presser, or do you sense any body language things starting to develop there?
it was a little low energy, but everybody was a little low energy today. Like, I thought Bill this morning, it was odd how low energy that was. So, he was definitely a little bit off today, but I'm not ready to get, you know, do a super deep dive into that. He was out in the rain for 2-3 hours, whatever it was. We'll see if it becomes a pattern, but off one day, I wouldn't ring any alarms.
All right, Alex, here's a test for you.
Okay.
Who that you have watched that we might think is okay has absolutely sucked? Who is the Alex Barth suckiest Patriot of camp so far award? Give me a sucky player. And someone, and I don't want to scrub.
Exactly.
I don't want the
85th. Yeah.
We want names.
I don't want the 85th guy. I want a guy that's going to be on the team who sucks.
Yeah, don't give me Jawan Williams.
So this is a tough one. I don't know. I was asked the other day my biggest disappointment of camp, and I said Jarrett Stidham. I mean, obviously he hasn't sucked. He hasn't been out there, but I think that in itself is a red flag. Obviously, what can you do? You get hurt, but this was a big year.
Nope. Try again. Come on.
No, I knew you were gonna kind of buzz me on that. You're really putting me on the spot here. Some of the guys up front, I think maybe Dietrich Wise after the contract they gave him, you'd like to see him pop a little more. He did have a nice hit today, but that's kind of the first time he's stuck out. I thought you might like to see a little bit more of him kind of flashing. So I guess I'll go with Dietrich Wise to answer that one. But I'd really have to think. I might have to get back to you guys on that one.
Okay.
So there's the headline. Dietrich Wise, paid, sucks, fat, and happy.
Yep. Dietrich Wise, comma, Matt Doloff, biggest bust of camp.
All right. Alex, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Read them on 985thesportshub.com. Okay, we'll open it up to your phones. You can talk about the quarterbacks if you want and the day that they had. It feels like there's a developing trend back towards Mac Jones in the last couple of days. We'll dive into that further. But your thoughts on N'Keal Harry, your thoughts on Steph Gilmore, your thoughts on anything else related to the team, write to you at 617-779-0985 right after Big Jim Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot. 98.5. Literally pathetic. The Sports Hub.
You know, right now I'm really not worried about anything trade-wise. I'm focused on how to be the best version of myself on the field, going out there, working hard, and improving every day. I'm a Patriot right now. I'm very okay with being a Patriot.
All right, so that was N'Keal Harry last week. Responding to questions about his agent or lawyer's goofy trade demand in the offseason. A lot of people thought that was it for N'Keal Harry. And I remember saying at the time, no. I mean, not unless they get a good offer for him. Yeah, sure. The guy, but not because he made a trade request. In fact, the trade request and the public nature of it would would probably push Bill in the other direction because he doesn't want to give in to a player or an agent. He never wants to be that guy. But you're not getting anything, whether it's a public demand or not. You're not going to get anything. So you're better off riding it out and saying, you know, don't sell low on a stock. Sit on it and see if it bounces back, right? And so that's where I think they are with N'Keal Harry. But it was interesting, you know, Alex Barth, who clearly, Maz, is not wired to think like we do, like who sucks and why. But even he, you know, when he was asked about N'Keal Harry, he says, yeah, he flashed. He's had a couple days here. He didn't go gaga on N'Keal Harry, so maybe it's not all that's being billed as.
Yeah, I wondered the same thing because, again, he says that there are three guys clearly in front of him, which are Aguilar, Bourne, and Myers, right, which are the guys you would expect. Then he mentioned the two guys behind him, which were Isaiah Zuber and Christian Wilkerson, okay, or in that he's in the neighborhood with those guys. Mike, we didn't even mention Olszewski. Okay.
Oh, I forgot about that. Right. I was like, who are we missing?
Okay, so when I, because I went and looked at the depth chart, I said, all right, Olszewski's there too. For some reason, I just glossed over him, and he's going to make the team. I mean, I don't think, like, I'd be surprised if Gunnar Olszewski doesn't make the team. So I sort of look at it and say, N'Keal Harry, based on what Alex Barth was just telling us, N'Keal Harry is the fourth or fifth receiver, and that part hasn't changed, which, If I hear that, I say if I can get a fourth round pick for him, I'd do it.
Right. I'd and which is fine. It would sort of the Wilkerson character. I mean, if Olszewski made it over him, fine. Zuber, who you know is here and we've seen, played in the NFL, fine. If he doesn't make it for that other guy, because the other guy is going to be a gunner or something, I don't know. That'd be kind of annoying. But, you know, then again, N'Keal Harry gets what he deserves. So, to your thoughts, 617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to grab them. Jacob in New Hampshire. Hi, Jacob.
Hi. Aside from the QBs, which Jones was, in fact, the winner today, I want to talk about the wide receivers specifically. Because I was down there today, and what I saw was Aguilar, Harry, and dare I say, Olszewski all looked pretty good today. But this Kendrick Bourne guy, he's my suck bag of the day because that dude could not catch a cold today. I know it was raining, but still, this got me worried about that position group.
Okay, Jacob, thank you. See, at least he's willing to give us a suck bag of the day. Barth has to work on that. Suck bag of the day. So, like, we're not down there. I'm not seeing it. It's been sort of de-emphasized because we just focus on the guys throwing the ball versus the guys catching the ball. You've been worried about this guy from the start, Mass.
Yes. I don't think that there is a clear sort of high-end receiver in the group. You want to tell me that you think Aguilar, Bourne, and Jacoby Myers are the top three in the depth chart? Great. How many of those guys would be the top receiver on any team? And my answer is none of them. So I'm worried about Aguilar, too. He's got the drops. And I'm not telling you he's not an NFL player. He is. But in a perfect scenario, he's a second or third receiver at best. So I think that some of the talent they added at the skill spots, and we're emphasizing receivers, so I'll stick to that, I think it's a little overrated. I'm not even sure the tight ends are all that good. I think they're fine. They're B players. But I don't think these guys are like all pro caliber players. Neither one of them's ever had 700 yards in a season. And it's not like the Patriots have Tom Brady playing quarterback now. So, I have doubts about the skill, the pass catchers, I do.
And about how the offense is going to look, right? If Barth is right, and it's really only three pure receivers, I don't know if you consider Olszewski a fourth or not, and Harry's going to lose out to a guy who can cover punts or whatever, and it's really just Aguilar, Bourne, and Myers. So, you know they're not going to be in these big spread format. It's not going to be a spread offense. I mean, it doesn't feel like unless you're spreading out tight ends, but even then, that's kind of funky. So it's like the strength of the team, Maz, is the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You've got now a couple tight ends that can play. They can block and they can catch. You still don't have a lot of good receivers. Maybe you have a couple of B-level, you know, level three receivers. So they're going to be like this big, heavy team that doesn't really spread it out like the rest of the NFL does. How do you feel about that style of offense?
So in this league now, I don't love it, but I don't hate it. Yeah, I don't think that they have a choice, though, which is why I'm not up in arms about it, because I just don't see the skill on the outside for them to be some sort of, you know, all out air attack. This is why I say I don't care who the quarterback is, the way they're built, you know, given what their roster is. OK, you know, whether it's Jones or Newton is my point. I don't think it really is going to matter all that much in terms of how they play. I think that because they're going to be defense first, they're probably going to have to run the ball first. They're going to use the tight ends for mismatches on third down, and they're going to take a shot down the field every now and then if defenses really start to pinch on them.
It might not be the most aesthetically pleasing football to watch, but it might just work. Especially, I do think that the offensive line is going to be an area of strength, and you know, the running back is certainly maybe one of their deeper positions. Linebackers are smaller with the way that the NFL is now, considering how everything has gotten so pass happy. So maybe it does work to their benefit. Again, it might be kind of gross to watch, but you know, the old ground and pound thing might actually work for the Patriots.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Mike. I was just going to say quickly. At the end of the day, what you want is to win. Okay, what you want is to win. So if it's not aesthetically a beauty pageant, fine. I can live with that part of it. I'm okay with that, and I'm okay with them running the ball and all sort of that stuff. I just think that I've always said to you, I think what Belichick is great at is controlling tempo. He understands tempo of game matters. And with Brady, they were able to speed it up and play at a really fast level, you know, get defenses panicking, guys running off the field. This team's going to do the opposite. They are going to suck the life, the air out of the ball. And we all know they're good at that. So I think you're going to get slow games in terms of tempo, because I think that's how they have to play.
But I think Murray hit on it, too, that, you know, Pat's always one step ahead, smartest guy in the room. Everyone's going small on defense. We'll go big on offense and just run over little pass coverage linebackers and safeties that they bring down the line of scrimmage, and we're going to zig whenever everyone else zags. And you can already hear the sort of annoyance in my voice. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? Because
yeah,
I know, you know, we're going to get a whole freaking handful of it. We're going to get a whole bunch of that. You know, if and when they have success doing that. And the simple truth is they're doing it because they don't have a quarterback. That's what you do when you don't have a good passing game. And that's the truth of the matter. But it could work. It should work. But how do you feel about it? Again, back to your phones. Open lines at 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Matt.
Mike, you there?
Yeah, good.
Hold on,
this is my landline, yep.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I definitely have aspirations to be a head coach, but to your point, like, really focused on this team, and we have a great head coach here in New England, but that is the goal. That is the goal. I think I can do it. I should say I know I can do it. I'll just wait for my chance to really come to fruition.
All right, back at Felger Mass, we're going through some other Patriots items before we get to the events at the quarterback position today. That was from yesterday. Gerard Mayo Mass, you know, openly just admitting that he wants to be a head coach, knows he can do it, and it's just a matter of time. And I sort of find it, you know, interesting. It's always kind of a topic here because you wonder how much longer Bill has and who's the next guy and who follows him and McDaniel's role here. And, you know, we even talked yesterday about if Bill had to go into COVID protocol and missed a week or two, who would be the guy that takes over? And you worry that it's Matt Patricia. Put him on the list too, right? It's like, how do you think that all, you know, how do you think that all plays out? You got a thought on that?
Well, so to me, the McDaniels would be the guy. I just feel like on field, in-game decisions, all that stuff, I'd go with McDaniels. I worry that they have Patricia earmarked as an emergency guy. I don't think he's necessarily the successor, although I know Jimmy Stewart feels differently about that. What I was going to ask you, too, about the Mayo comment, and I meant to bring this up, so forgive me for doing it now.
Do it.
Do you find it odd that he would come right out and say that? Like, is that something that Bill would deem a distraction? You know, like, and I'm not saying that he's jumping ship in the middle of the camp, because obviously that's not going to happen. But I do wonder if it's sort of his way of acknowledging that Bill's son is in front of him on the, you know, in the pecking order. Like, it crossed my mind that way.
So there's a story wrapped up in all of that, you know, and absolutely, Maz, absolutely. I think most coaches would be afraid to be so bold about that while they're in season, training camp, for crying out loud, in a Bill Belichick camp. You know, other teams, you know, wouldn't be a story, but they're so hypersensitive here and so controlling here that it's a story here. And it's sort of striking. It's a little jarring to hear someone, a coach no less, talk so openly about a personal goal that it's like, you know, you take notice of it. And I love it personally because I think it speaks to Gerard Mayo's confidence. And he's got, you know, as a former player and captain and an important guy, I think he was one of the rare guys that, you know, F you, Bill. You know, I mean, you know what I mean? Just a little bit of that. Yeah, just a little bit of a, I don't care if you don't like it. You know, I want to be a coach. I'm allowed to say it. And he can handle the consequences where I think someone like Patricia would be cowering in the corner and would never dare open his mouth like that. Or Nick Caserio would never dare open it. And I know McDaniels at times has, you know, openly said, yes, of course, that's a goal of mine. But I you know, so that I love about Gerard Mayo. Is it unusual or potentially a thing? I absolutely think so, Maz, and you hit on it because of Bill's kid. It's like, who's the defensive coordinator on this team?
There isn't one.
And now we're at a point where...
Isn't it kind of his kid, though?
Well, but... So
they split it, right?
You know, well, Murray and Maz, like, you know, they've definitely gone without the titles in the past. you know, where a guy sort of has the role but doesn't get the title for a year or two, and then like in the second or third year, all of a sudden he's was Flores not it, and then he was a defensive coordinator, or did he never have the title? I can't remember.
I think he had it his last year, maybe even two.
Okay, so but his first year he didn't. Like so, like that's happened in the past where the first year is sure. Sort of we're gonna wait to give you the title, and what that usually means is we don't want to pay you, but. Now we're 2-3 years into the thing here with Brian, with Steve Belichick there and Mayo there. It's like, no, by this point, someone's a defensive coordinator, but no one's a defensive coordinator because there's a sensitivity there because of Bill's kid or Gerard Mayo, who's probably the worthy guy or the more marketable, whatever. Gerard Mayo's going to be a head coach. I don't think Steve is anytime soon. He will be maybe someday, but like, and I'm sorry, like that's a lot of facilitation there because I can't quite nail down the story, but there's awkwardness. This is what happens when you have your kids on your staff, I think is the final analysis there.
Yeah, and look, I did just look it up. Flores was never the defensive coordinator. You're right. He was the play caller in his final season. That's how it's listed, defensive
but just
play
his,
caller.
Just his final season. What the season before, was there a defensive coordinator? So it was Fatso, and then...
I think that's right.
And then he left, and then it was just 1 year of Flores.
Yeah.
Okay, and he never got the title. So I'm telling you, if Flores was here into his second year, they would have given him the title. Because I think there's been cases like that. Maybe Mangini didn't have it his first year. Whatever. They're always screwing around with their titles. Okay, so they can do that on their own time. But who's the next coach? Who's the defensive coordinator? Bill's kids being on the staff, of course, throws a little wrench into the thing when it could be Mayo. Da-da-da-da-da. But credit to Mayo. For not being, you know, not being half-assed about that answer, or not, you know, trying to be politically correct about it, or not, worried about ruffling Bill's feathers. No, yeah, I want to be a coach. I think I can. No, I know I can do it, and it's just a matter of time. And he didn't, you know, that last part he didn't say, but that's the gist of that answer. So good for him. All right, I'm sorry. Back to your phones. Kevin is in the truck on the Patriots. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, how you guys doing? Just back to your earlier point. This Pat's offense is really scary to me. I miss the good old days of looking at our offense and thinking, like, who's the defense going to cover? We have too many guys. And now my fear is the injury bug. We have no depth. I mean, not only do I not like the guys that are going to be out there, but what's going to happen when, you know, God forbid these guys start getting hurt? Who are we going to go to? We have no depth at all. And just want
okay,
to get
so thoughts. I think they have depth on the line. I think they have depth at running back, if you care about that. They have depth at tight end. Their depth at receivers, not great. Their top-end talent at receivers, not great. When you say the offense is scary, we used to say it's scary, like, oh, my God, they're going to score 40 points a game. Now it's like, oh, it's scary. It's going to suck. My bigger issue, I mean, everyone has to worry about depth issues. That's a problem for everybody. Who has great depth? Just, I don't know, trying to win deep into the playoffs, just going big. I don't know. I think there's a ceiling to that. I know there's a ceiling to that. It's hard to do nowadays. Not many teams do it. And so at some point, they're going to have to get quarterback play, which, again, we will get to.
Yeah, and Mike, just quickly, look at the Tennessee Titans. Okay,
right, exactly.
Okay, so what did they just do? They went out and got Julio Jones. Because what they had was not good enough. I mean, as good as Derrick Henry is and some of the other guys they've had aren't as efficient as Tannehill has been there, their passing game isn't good enough. So they had to go get an elite, like, a Hall of Fame caliber receiver. But anyway.
Excellent point. Kevin in Rhode Island. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Mike. I got to ask you something real quick before I make my point. Did you follow the Packers when you were a teenager?
Of course.
Do you remember a receiver the Patriots drafted, Hartley Dykes?
Sure.
And you guys ruined his career in a preseason game. I've hated the Packers ever since.
But believe me, Hartley Dykes was going to suck whether we got involved or not. But go ahead.
Could you tell me what year that was if you get a chance?
Let
me get to my point. I think Harry's going to make this team. I think the Patriots are figuring out how to use him. If you watch his highlight reel when he was drafted, this kid always had a defensive back on his right on his hip.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's the kind of guy you got to throw to when he's covered.
Okay, Kevin, I'm going to let you go. These guys are chirping you. Why? Why are you chirping?
Oh, yeah, no. The phrase I was going to use is he's a freaking beast, because that's what Mike Lombardi told me. He's a freaking beast.
Yeah, throw it into the end zone. Let him get tall for you. He's got to use his size more.
As it turned out, he blows. So, I just... Yeah. I hope, the more I think of it, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping him on this roster. Because I forgot about Olszewski, and they're not going to keep Harry as the fifth guy.
Yeah, if you watch the highlight film of him at Arizona State, yes, it's all of that. There's always someone on his hip pocket. He does get big in the end zone, all of that. But he comes into the NFL. He's not a very good route runner. He doesn't really get separation, and he runs like he's got two left feet.
Well, but the flip side to him always catching balls in traffic and being great on jump balls is that he's not open. You know, like, that's the thing that I
look at.
Like, I prefer guys who get open. The jump ball guy, I mean, okay, but I don't want my quarterback throwing into coverage. I don't want him throwing to covered guys. I want guys to get open. Like, so that's what always stands out to me with N'Keal Harry. So, yeah, all these spectacular boundary catches, right, in college, and running down the sidelines and whatnot with a guy draped all over him. There's a guy draped all over him. Like, that's a part that I tend to focus on.
Right. And in the NFL, that guy's better. You know, the more I think about it, I'm sorry. I don't mean to jam this point in. But the more I think about it, you know what they're going to do? They told him, play your ass off in camp. They're just waiting for an injury in another camp. They're waiting for an injury in another camp where they can get a fourth-round pick for him or a conditional fifth that could be a fourth if he plays a certain amount, and then they're moving his ass.
Well, we started out this hour optimistic about N'Keal Harry, all in on N'Keal Harry, and now he's back to sucking, and he's out for a fifth-round pick. That didn't take long. That was quick.
Got that out of my system.
Well, actually, it took an hour, but, I mean, we ultimately got back there. Okay, what happened today at the quarterback position? There is a development. There is and has been a legit development. And when it comes to the Patriots quarterback competition, it has gone and swung, I think, kind of dramatically in one direction. One maybe we weren't expecting here just 48 hours ago. But the latest on that, after Murray's 90-second update, there are no commercials here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.